What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the GameCast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back for episode 68. We took a week off, weren't feeling all too, up to recording. I wasn't feeling all that great. I've been working a bunch and not getting a ton of sleep. And Tess wasn't feeling all that great either. So we were like, you know what? We'll take a week off. Take a week off and come back strong. So we are back with episode 68, and we have a lot to talk about. But before we get into that, our main topics of the show, just kind of wanted to jump into what we've been doing over the past however long. And usually, if it's not anything super grand, we'll be talking about shows that we watch or things that we might want to, encourage other people to check out, like Odd Taxi. I know I spoke about that a while ago, and I think you should watch it. I really think you should watch it. My shonen anime fans, you might not like it because there's very little action in terms of like shootouts and stuff like that. I mean, someone does get shot, so there's that. But there's no fireballs, there's no, multi-tailed beast or anything. Like, no, it's an interesting mystery, anime. And it's really good. It's done really well. So definitely check that out. But one of the shows I've been watching and I've talked about a little bit on Twitter and here and there is Squid Game, which is taking the planet by storm right now. So much so that certain other countries, I believe, were trying to sue Netflix. I think it was Korea, not South Korea. I have to double check my notes. But like they were saying, like so many people were watching this show that it was like crashing their servers or something. Like this is one of the most watched shows in Netflix history. I don't even remember what the previous one was, but in terms of like eyes on it and people talking about it has been Squid Game. And so I wanted to check it out, see what what was going on, what was all the hubbub about. And a lot of the, Korean shows, whether it be dramas, movies or whatever, have been really great on Netflix. Like they've been able to kind of collect a decent amount of content there, and so I wanted to check it out, and wow. So it is I can't say it's good. I think there's a lot of good things in it.
Okay.
There's great acting.
Yeah.
There is a great humanizing story in a sense of how people see each other, how people treat each other, what it means to be even a citizen. There's a character, Ali, who is a foreign worker from Pakistan, and he is treated rather poorly in the show. His employer won't pay him on time, hasn't actually paid him for months, and he has a family. They immigrated there. And essentially, this is something that happens a lot, apparently. Like, there's people from these different countries that come there and are kind of, used for cheap labor. Some of them don't get paid. Sounds very familiar, on the American side with people coming from across the border, but they depict it really well. And the reason I bring him up is because a lot of the show has to do with people being in debt and trying to win a prize to be able to pay off their debt. But the games that they have to play, if you lose, you die. That's the premise. And this isn't a spoiler because this is advertised everywhere. Like, that's what the gist is of the show. And in order to get you kind of into this, the realm of what's going on and not make it seem so foreign in nature is by painting these people in the worst circumstances, when it comes to money, at least. Mm-hmm. You have a main character who has a gambling problem, can't support he doesn't have his daughter anymore. He lives with his mother, and his daughter lives with her mother and the mother's new husband, and he can't afford to buy her like anything for her birthday. And he tries to borrow, get money from his mom, and when he does, he goes gambling, and it's just a lot of poor choices. But eventually he's approached by a guy who asks him, I have basically a briefcase full of money, and I'll pay you money if you could play this game. I'm not sure what type of game it is. It reminds me of Pong, to be honest, but it's with paper, and like you have to slam the piece of paper on the ground and it has to flip the other person's paper over. I'm not sure how to play this game. This is the first time I've ever seen it. But they were like, if you win, you get a certain amount of money. And if I win, I get a certain amount of money. And what happened was he gambled and lost. And so instead of taking money from him, the guy slapped him. And so he's like, every time you lose, I'll slap you. But if you win, you get money. And so he eventually wins. And the guy's like, okay, there's a bigger game that you can play for a ton of money. Doesn't tell him anything about it. Just is like, you know, meet me here type of thing. And that's what happens with all the other characters. They are invited to the game. And then they find out later that the game has, you know, if you don't win, you die. And so there's a lot of stuff that happens in between where, you know, the characters kind of, how do I say this without spoiling it? There's an option, or there's a point where the people can kind of turn away. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, they forfeit all the money. And they get dropped off back wherever they were picked up. And everyone lives. You know, everyone who was, you know, still living lives.
So I have a question.
Okay.
Because what I would want to know is if somebody told me, hey, you know, if you play this game and win, you can wipe out all your debt. But if you lose, you die. And then my question would be, but if I die, does my debt get wiped out anyway?
Oh, no.
I want to know.
Well, there's a wrinkle there. There is a wrinkle there, I'm not going to say what happens, but there's kind of like a clause in there that where the money could potentially go to your descendants. But even then, it's only going to be a fraction of what you could have won if you actually made it through all the games, because there's multiple games. It's like a round based type of thing. Whoever makes it to the final round will actually win however much money there is. And it's based on what's so... I can't say that. See, I don't want to spoil it. For the people who want to see it, the reason why I say I don't think it's necessarily a good show outside of maybe some cultural things, maybe things that I'm not, you know, privy to in terms of the culture. But what I can kind of see and kind of gather, the things that they kind of put in, they did a really good job. But in terms of it being entertaining to watch, it was kind of like... entertaining in a sense, like how do these people survive? Like when you think of Battle Royale, you think of like, you know, they're put in this bad situation. How do they make it out? Or like Japan Sinks, right? You think that's where the entertainment comes from. And also for me, we talked about this on a previous cast about escapism and how this is so foreign from us that even though these bad things are happening, it actually improves the escapism because it's like that can never happen. Or legally, at least, that wouldn't happen, right? And so, but even with that, the things that happen are so sad that it was hard to kind of overlook some of the more damaging things that happen to these people, because there's no one to root for. Like there are some, there's the protagonists, but for the most part, I think there's one protagonist that I think is like solid. Like I'm like, okay, maybe you. But for the most part, there aren't really anybody to root for because they all are agreeing to take part in this game, and in doing so, inadvertently kill other people. And I don't mean just kill other people. Like, you know, we played this game, I won, and then someone out of the shadows came and killed you. I don't mean like that. I mean like, no, in order to win, this person needs to die, and it has to be. You have to be the person who hits the button or do whatever. And yeah. So it's kind of hard for anybody to have like any moral standing or for me to root for you like I do Japan Sinks, because all of you are doing this.
It. Nobody
is. Right.
Yeah, nobody is responsible for, you know, those earthquakes. And in Battle Royale, the kids didn't know what was going on. They just got dropped off on an island. They were all like trucked in, and it was just like, by the way, you guys are jerks, so we're dropping you off here. Kill each other now.
They didn't. That was so trash. I was like, what?
They didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, and so like, and this is not to say or to judge anybody who, you know, because I'm a horror fan, and so like gore and stuff like that. Like I just streamed because I'm doing this Halloween thing where I stream every Tuesday. a horror film. If you have Amazon Prime, you can jump on, you know, go follow me at Kenny UFG over at Twitch. Anyways, you can jump on and watch a movie with me. And the one I showed was Hatchet, which has people, it's over the top, but it's based on like, you know, 80s slasher films. So like people are getting their arms ripped off and stuff like that. And so that in and of itself didn't bother me. I think it was how certain things were presented. I'll kind of give like a brief example without spoiling too much. There's a game where people have to basically do an activity by themselves. And if you screw up in the activity, you know, think of like, you know, if you don't complete a puzzle in a certain amount of time, a guy walks over and shoots you in the head. And so there's all these people, there's all these people doing this activity and you hear bam, bam, like the camera's on them and they're like, you know, trying to figure this whatever this thing is. And you hear bam and they like flinch. And so like the tension is like really high. And then, you know, your perspective switches to someone who's about to get shot and you see them like their head explode after they get hit. And it's like, after a while, it's like this slow monotonous killing of people. It starts to take a toll. And then the fact that there's very few likable people. There's all sorts of people double crossing each other and everything. It makes for a good drama. But as far as like my mental state, it was like, man, this isn't really all that healthy. To kind of sit through and watch. And I know it's, and like I said, it's different. It's along the same lines as Battle Royale, but it's different where I can root for the couple that ends up winning. Or at the very least just be like, oh, this person is really jacked up versus this person. You kind of have that here too, but majority of the people are not all that great people. I think Ali, I can say him, he's one of the people that I'm like, I was super, super rooting for because of his predicament and the type of person he was. Like he was the type of person who would help other characters in the show. And, you know, him being naive about certain things because he was a foreigner. It makes you gravitate towards characters like him. So there was that. I'll give them that. But at the same time, it's like so many people doing each other dirty. And I'm like, dang, like, this is really tough. Like,
so, you're like, this world sucks. I hate it here.
Right. You know, and then the ending pissed me off so much. And I'm not going to say anything about it. But apparently, I will say this. It kind of makes it seem like there's going to be a second season. What made me mad, because I don't think we need a second season with this particular character. What also made me mad was that the writer was like, you know what? If Netflix greenlights another season, we're not even going to take it from the perspective of the contestants. We're going to go from, you know, someone else's perspective, like, you know, the police force or whatever that couldn't seem to get anything together during the show. And I'm like, really? Like, we're not even going to go back to this particular person? Like, what was the point of ending it that way? Like, it just... And I get it if you want to be open-ended and you want to kind of have us make up our minds, but it wasn't worth all that. Just let the
three of Digimon.
Right. Just it's like, why did you do that? Like, why? Let's just have so and so go off and do what they need to do. Like it was, and the twist. There was a whole storyline, sub storyline, mystery that when it finally unfolded, didn't it was no what do you call it? It wasn't satisfactory at all. And again, we're not going to go back to these contestants. We're going to go to a whole nother thing if there's a season two. So I'm like, we're not even going to get, you know, a really good poetic justice. That's the words I'm looking for. Poetic justice in a situation. We don't get any of that. It just kind of was like a extra side thing that was like, okay, this is happening, but whatever. Like, and we just move on. Like there was a big reveal and then we move on.
Sounds like Game of Thrones to me.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I would probably watch this over Game of Thrones just because it wasn't like however many seasons that ended poorly. Like at least this is one. Like you could sit through one of this as opposed to a bunch. So at the very least. But if you dig it, that's what's up. I was kind of like done with it. And I kept with it because I was invested. Like I'd already gone this far. Let me go ahead and finish it. Maybe it finishes strong. It ties everything together. Maybe there's some poetic justice. Maybe the characters are able to, you know, spin the rules in their favor, and you know, similar to Battle Royale and Hunger Games or whatever. None of that. So yeah, it's the talk of the town, and I will, you know, I commend them for getting it out, because this show was being pitched around, I want to say for like 10 years before Netflix finally picked it up. Wow. And which kind of makes sense. I mean, the climate we're in right now, streaming is huge.
Yeah.
And this type of show works perfectly for this climate, especially with everyone having to be in the house because of COVID. And yeah, it just makes sense. With all the stuff that they got pulling onto Netflix and HBO and everything, it makes sense that it would get picked up now versus before.
Yeah.
You know, there's a hot take that, you know, some of the people who passed on it were upset. Not really. I don't think it would have worked out as well.
Yeah.
If it was 10, you know, if we imagine the landscape 10 years ago, especially with streaming. I don't think so. Streaming is a very different. I want to say even like TV shows in general, since Lost and some of this other stuff, like it's you know, we've transitioned into this thing where it's not just the show, it's social media, it's, you know, how it's, you know, binged or not binged, you know, it's all this other stuff that kind of comes into play to make a moment like Squid Games.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, kudos to everybody that worked on it and, you know, all the actors and everything. They did a great job. They did a great job, but I don't think I will ever watch it again. And that means something as a TV head who watches things over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So not exactly bad, but not exactly good either. I'll just throw that out there. But speaking of TV, you've been watching Scenes from a Marriage. How's that going?
I've been watching Scenes from a Marriage. I swear it comes out like once a month. This is taking forever because, you know, my dumb butt thought it was a movie. And then I watched it and I was like, what? One episode? Huh? And yeah, I was extremely perturbed. So I've watched the first three episodes, but I've missed the last 3 minutes of the third episode because somebody called me and I couldn't finish watching it. So I don't know what happened. All I know is that he's laying in the bed with his daughter. That's all I know. Anyway, so this show is a completely different genre and mode from what you were just watching. There's nobody
right.
killing people for money. But, you know, and I think the title is perfect. I think it's based off of a book or play.
Okay.
And it is really just scenes of two amazing and talented actors acting out points in time of a relationship, of a marriage. And I think I had a different idea of it when I first heard of it. And then I watched it, and the first episode like really hurt. It was really painful to watch. There was a lot of things that happened in the first episode that is just like, wow. And then the second episode comes and it's, I wasn't ready. I was not ready. I was just like, what is happening here? What are you guys doing? Does this happen in normal marriages? I don't know. I've never been married and probably won't be. So because
was this like a lot of drama? Like,
well, I mean, there's cheating. There's this just stuff like, okay, so I'll give away the first episode because I mean, come on, people. It's on HBO. You have access. Don't say I spoiled it for you. You spoiled it for yourself. You guys know not to listen to this podcast when I'm on it.
Because hey, the first episodes get spoiled. That's how it works.
That's how it works here. But so the first episode. One thing that I actually like about this show is like when they start shooting, they film, you know, the cameras are always running, but they run the camera into like exactly what they're doing prior to them actually starting the scene. So I just think it's cool because they're actually calling the actors by their name and they're telling them, they're like, hey, I need you to do this. And then they're like talking and then they're like, and action. And then they go right into acting. So it's kind of really cool because even the subtitles will have their actual names. It'll be like,
oh, that's interesting.
Jessica Chastain and Oscar Isaacs, and it'll literally say Jessica, and it's like, you know, somebody's talking to her and then she's talking to somebody else and it literally says, you know, like Jessica is saying this, but then as soon as like action hits, then the name changes to like the next time she speaks, the subtitle actually says her, the name of the character, and moves on. Wow. So it's just really cool how they like run. They just, I don't know, they just made it a point to do that. It's kind of funny that they chose to do that, because I think that kind of goes in with the title and the feel of what they're trying to pull. They're like, first of all, showing that these actors are really, really talented and how quickly they can get into character. But also, it's just like, it's called Scenes from a Marriage for a reason. You only get pieces of it. So, and I realized that after seeing the first episode, because when you go into the next episode, so much time has passed. So for example, the first episode takes place, and then like the next episode doesn't take place until like months later after the first one ends. And then the next one is like a year later. So it's just like moments out of this marriage of these people. So the first episode kind of starts off with this couple, and they're being interviewed by a girl from the college of the place where the husband works. And they're basically being interviewed on what makes a successful marriage, because they've been married for like 11 years. They've been together for like 20 or whatever. But anyway, they've been married for like 11 years or something like that. So, you know, they think their relationship is successful. But the wife, her name is Mira, she gets pregnant, you know, unplanned. And they are talking about it. And she's like, you know, I don't think that I want another baby. And, you know, her husband on the show, his name is Jonathan. And he's like, okay, you know, like he's so accommodating. It's actually kind of a strange dynamic. They start off very strong as a couple. Like you think they're strong. Obviously, you can tell the foreshadowing that there's something wrong and that maybe they're not speaking about it. And then they have dinner with their friends, and their friends are clearly having an issue because their friends decided to have an open marriage. And then that clearly isn't really 100% working out because they're fighting. And that gets, you know, into an argument over double dinner, you know, I mean, a dinner date, and that's not cool. But you think that your main characters, your protagonists, have this perfect marriage, and you find out they don't, because the wife gets pregnant and she's saying that she doesn't want to have this baby. And it's kind of like, wow, this is something that's really hard. It's one thing when you're dating or you're barely dating somebody and you get knocked up, or you are dating and you're not ready for a child and you make that decision. It's a different thing when you're married and you already have one child, and then you have to sit there and discuss whether you're going to have an abortion. Like, that's not necessarily a common topic, I would say, unless there's like a huge health issue or something like that. So it's right. Actually really, it's just very strong. There's a lot of emotion there, and you kind of feel like you are part of this. Like you're getting a glimpse into what someone's marriage could be like when they're discussing what it's like to be married and have a small family and navigating work schedules and, you know, gender roles reversed. Like the wife is the breadwinner and the husband works from home and does most of the things with their child. And then the wife is like, I'm pregnant again, and I don't really think this is a good idea. Should we have this kid? And you see them kind of like have this, what do you call it? Like a invisible disagreement in a way. Like these are two people who are not communicating very well. Mm-hmm. Like they seem to be pacifists. Like it seems like the husband is not saying his true feelings. Like you can tell, I think he would be totally happy to have this child, but he sees that his wife doesn't want to have this child. So he kind of just goes along with it with her and is like, yeah, you know, let's do whatever you want to do. And I think she was wanting somebody to tell her what to do. You know, like it just seemed very, very painful. Like, wow, who does this?
That doesn't sound like that's going to end well at all.
At all, right? That, and like, if that's any foreshadowing into somebody's relationship, like, wow. But it's just very, very, it's very painful, because you can like see Jonathan struggling. Like, you can see where he kind of wants to speak up and tell his wife that he would like to keep this child. And then you can kind of see where she's sitting here like, I would like to hear your real feelings. And then we get to go to the doctor's office where she's going to actually have this abortion. And you see them interact, and like, he's having kind of a trouble accepting it, but he's playing like he's fine.
And all she, it's like all she wants is his real feelings, but he's like trying to be the perfect husband. Like, let me go get you a soda. Let me go do this. Let me go do this. And she kind of just wants him to be there. And it's just really sad because like she takes this pill and then she just starts crying and it's really emotional, right? And you just kind of sit there and be like, yeah, I don't want any parts of this. Like as a viewer, you're like, you want to give them both hugs, or you also want to be like, I don't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole. I don't want this to be me ever. And then I'm pretty sure there are people watching this who have been through this. I mean, we all watched Grey's Anatomy. We all watched Christina have an abortion while she was literally married to Owen Hunt. And she's like, but she wasn't questioning it. Christina never wanted to be a mother. And she was like, I will not have a child. So bye-bye. And Owen was upset because he wanted a kid. So that was something that was there. This is a kind of a different story, but similar. And it's difficult, right? But then that's it. That's the first episode. It's like,
oh wow,
it's like, wait, what, we're done? Because like, again, I was watching this and I thought it was supposed to be a movie, and I'm like, oh god, this is gonna be bad. Because like, you know, as a woman, like, you sometimes you kind of think, you're like, if you're in a situation with somebody, if you're in a relationship with somebody and you're like, and you think abortion, then you're kind of like, maybe we shouldn't be together. But these people are married. Okay. And it's like, wow. Okay. How do you get around this? How do you heal from this? How do you move forward? Because it doesn't feel like this was really, I don't want to say a joint decision, but it seemed like this was a placating,
right?
Pacification. I don't know, whatever. And then you go to the next episode and everything's gone to shit. Excuse my language. I mean, just burned down to the ground.
Well, I would. Awful. I expect. I mean, because at the end of the day, regardless of how you feel about abortion, not having abortion, having abortions, or whatever, if you're in you're in a married situation, mm-hmm. like there has to be communication. Yeah. Even if ultimately it's her choice in terms of her getting abortion or not, but
right.
him not saying how he really felt. That's going to lead to, like, anytime you have, like, especially strong emotions, because this isn't something you can, it's not like he was like, pick the red card, she picked the blue one. And he's like, you know what? I'll get over it. Like, no, like, if he's feeling what I would assume he would be feeling based on the fact that I'm a parent, that's a lot. And there's no going back. Even if she gets pregnant again, that particular child is gone. Exactly. And so you need to be honest. And talk through it. So then when you finally come to a decision, it's like, okay, I might not like this decision 100%, but at the very least, I said how I felt. Everyone's on the same page. And we kind of move from there. But just kind of like swallowing everything and not saying anything, you're going to erupt one day. And it's going to be bad on both people it's going to happen because no one's being honest, or at least not fully honest with the other person. That could lead to resentment. That could lead to all sorts of just bad things.
Yeah.
And it's not good. It's not good.
And that's exactly where it goes. I mean, it's also very questionable because remember, like I said, the episodes jump a lot of time. And so you kind of, I guess, as you go through the episode, you realize that like at least 8 months have passed since this time. So, or maybe 8 months have passed or something. I don't know. But some time has passed since she's had an abortion, and it's you just have to watch this. And again, I mean, I feel like I can only recommend this to people who want to be invested in something that's slow moving. So some people don't like slow movies, like slow dramas. Honestly, like if you watch Korean dramas, those things aren't slow. There's drama on every corner. I love Korean. this is very slow. And I think the title is so fitting because it's almost as if you are a fly on the wall in a random, regular person's marriage, which can be boring at times, but like it's not even written in the way where the dialogue is perfect. You know, like, it's not like, oh, let's, I mean, since I just watched all the Marvel movies all over again, where these like one-liners keep getting thrown in, like Tony Stark can come up with a one-liner in 0.2 seconds. It's insane. And all of the conversation just flows and fits, right?
Right.
This is not like that. It's like real people having a conversation and you're kind of listening to them and you're like, that's not what you should be saying right now. And you're sitting here like, wait, are you gonna say that? And then are you not gonna say anything? Are you not gonna follow up? And you're sitting there like a fly on the wall screaming at these two people.
I can't do that. One of my biggest pet peeves with shows is when people don't say what they ought to say. And not even from the standpoint of you're unsure or, you know, maybe there's a lot going on. No, I mean from like 3 or 4 episodes will be cut out if you just said this. Like if you could just say this one thing and get it out in the open so we can talk about it, all this drama would have been gone. Like just what are you doing with your life? Like there's so many times where, especially when someone is like, for instance, I finished watching Midnight Mass, horror show on Netflix that I am extremely conflicted about. I'm not going to really talk about that here because, you know, we're moving on. But there's a character in that show that's just a busybody, knows it, know it all, like in your business, Catholic person. Mm-hmm. Who I can relate to, you know, being on the Christian side, who constantly just belittled people, spoke down to people, got scripture wrong. Like she knew her scriptures, but just interpreted them really wrong. Like she internalized them to the point where it's almost like, actually, I read this from an IGN article today. But basically, a person was saying that it was almost like she didn't expect God to love everybody else the way he loves her. Oh. And so she treated everyone that way. And I just was like, if someone don't say something to this woman, like there's just so many scenes where I'm just like, hello, like somebody. And so I could not sit and like the elephant is just on the table juggling in front of them and they're just ignoring it. Like it's pink and it has wings and it's singing a song. And I'm like, this shit is mad obvious, fam. Like just say something and they do nothing. And then we move on. I would have flipping tables. Nope.
Luckily for them, I don't even really feel like they move on. It's like they have these conversations that, you know, real people are having. And not like you're sitting there like, yeah, because a real argument between married people actually takes this long. Like you'll realize that 30 minutes went by and they're still talking. And you're like,
oh yeah, yeah, totally, totally.
Yeah. And that's why you're sitting here and you're like, I am watching scenes from someone's marriage. I'm literally sitting on the side, but I can't believe this is happening. I cannot believe that this woman is gonna walk out on her husband, and she's so ready to go that she tries to pack a suitcase full of clothing with the hanger still on the clothes. Like grabs the clothes from the closet and tries to stuff them into a suitcase, and she can't stuff them in there because there's still hangers on them, woman. You gotta take the hangers off.
No more wire hangers.
It just goes from 0 to 60 so fast. And you're just like, oh my God, what's happening? And you're just sitting there like, you feel like Jonathan. You feel like him. He's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? She's like, I can't be here. I gotta go. I can't do this anymore. You can't do what? Wait, what just happened? I thought you were at the doctor's office. Like everything is shit. It's bad. It's bad. And it's just like, this is a train wreck. So I recommend this for anyone who's not married so that you don't get married, because clearly this is not what you want.
I am in a great marriage. Let me just throw that out there.
You are. And that's what I recommend this for people who are in good marriages so they can watch this and realize what they never want to be. So
I am so thankful. Like I be seeing stuff on Twitter, and I know this is an aside, but when people talk about like they can't trust, you know, women, like men, you can't be open to women because didn't they make fun of you and call you weak and a coward and all this other stuff. And I'm like, damn, son, like that. Who hurt you? Fam, because like I all sorts of stuff. Like my wife's my best friend. So I'm like, I am down right now. I'm having a bad moment. And at no point has she ever made me feel like trash because of it. Like even when we were dating, not even being married. So I'm like, I just kind of look, I'm like, dang, that sucks to be you. Cause that's right. Not what I, and not to say that I've never experienced any negative interactions while dating, like before I met my wife and whatnot, but it has never been to the extent where I was jaded, like with right. women. Like I'm just jaded. Like none of you, you know, you can't trust women. You can't trust men. You can't trust, like, damn, like I am happy. I am very happy. And that sucks. And I hope you, you know, you could find whatever it is, but I am so happy. I don't have to deal with any of that stuff. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah.
We talked a long time about whether or not we were having kids and yeah, I just, mm-mm. Nope. Nope.
You're like, nope. Yeah, that's not my life, and I pity you, but
I don't. I'm like, damn, and just keep it moving. It's none of my business. And yes. I couldn't watch this. I dig it though. It's it looks like it's only 4 episodes, so I guess the next one's coming out. Are they like an hour? You said they're only 30 minutes?
No, they're an hour. They're an hour.
They're an hour. Okay.
Yeah. So just about, like, this one it was 56 minutes, and I got a phone call while I was at minute 52 and 50 something seconds.
Okay.
And I like pick up the phone and I'm like, yo, I'm watching this thing and I'm telling my friend about this show. And I was like, you need to watch it. Do you have HBO? It's on HBO, everybody. And then she's like, no, I mean, I do have HBO. Oh my God, should I watch it? And then I start telling her what's going on. She's like, what? Absolutely not okay. I mean, she went off because I'm telling her all the things that are happening. I'm like, but you should watch it. And she's like, she did what? I said, yes, she did this. She's like, oh my God, that woman's terrible. Or, and I'm like, and then this happened and then he did that. She's like, what? Why? And I'm like, yo,
why do we like messy shit? Like, I don't understand. Like,
I'm telling you, the funny thing about this is like, it's not even messy. Like, where, like, you know, if you're watching Real Housewives and you're like, man, that Kenya more messy. We all know that. You can't trust her. Kenya messy as hell. She's trash. But moving on, like this, it kind of comes out of, I don't want to say it comes out of nowhere, but again, like talking about this couple who makes this choice to go, I mean, they did it together, but it's like, oh man, if you guys just would have had you guys need a code word, like our, you know, we're going to be talking about Issa and Insecure. And remember how Issa and Molly had code word? They had Malibu.
Well, that didn't really work out. 100%.
It didn't work out in the last season, but it did in the season before.
It did. Okay. It did. Nah, this couple needs therapy. They need real good therapy. Yes. They need to get everything out because it's going to be a rough journey.
It's definitely a rough journey for them. So yeah, I will recommend that to people. I mean, just watch it because first of all, it's got Oscar Isaacs, the King of Smolder. So yes. And you know, I shouldn't say everybody's favorite redhead, but a lot of people's favorite redhead, Jessica Chastain. So, you know, watch it because I said so. And if you don't, well, you're a loser.
Wow. Okay. So totally not losers if you don't watch this show. Speaking of HBO shows, though, we do want to talk about Insecure. The final season is coming up on October, I think, 24th, and they showed a trailer, the first trailer for the final season. And so we want to kind of talk about what we think is going to happen in the final season based on what we know about these characters and what the trailer kind of showed. And it shows, well, from, I guess, just watching like the first few scenes, that not everything is great. You know, Molly and Issa's relationship hasn't been. If you haven't seen the previous season, I should probably say this. It's gonna Loser. Be some light. There's gonna be some slight spoilers, but nothing too big. Like the two main characters right now aren't getting along, but that's not a huge thing. If you saw the trailer, you you kind of know that they're not getting along. So yeah, Issa is not getting along and Molly is not getting along. And they're trying to work things out. They're trying to get back to where they were before. And so they're, you know, talking with their other friends who also had a falling, you know, they fell out a while back and were seemingly patched things up. And so they want to know, like, you know, this is something that is fixable. How long does it take to, you know, trust one another again and stuff like that? And then that's when the jokes kind of land, like right after, because you apparently the two friends that they're talking to aren't all that made up either. So just yeah. A lot of interesting things with that. We also get to see glimpses of other characters. You know, some of the main characters. Her name's not Consuela, but we call her Consuela.
We call her Consuela. She's had anything.
She's had her baby. So I'm trying to think, like, how much time has passed because for her to have her baby, because she just had found out she was pregnant.
Yeah.
At the end. And now I'm thinking at the very least 10 or 11 months, just based on how, you know, chunky the baby looks.
It takes 40 weeks to cook a baby.
They didn't look fresh. You know what I mean? You know, fresh out of the oven. They've been out, you know, for a little bit. So, you know, you see that. You also see changes in characters. You know, Molly, yeah. You know, cuts her hair, which I'm hoping is significant of a, you know, person, you know, not personality change, but just a change. Yeah, growth. Like she cuts her hair and I'm hoping that. But we also see there's a scene with her mom. Yeah. Where they're talking about, you know, their father and the things that he's done and how Molly is, you know, okay with being single right now. And her mom is like, well, you know, basically we're not getting any younger. And I think part of that is because of the things that happened between, you know, her mother and father and how everyone seemed to be able to forgive him but her. Mm-hmm. And so it's very interesting because although we see some changes here and there, there are a lot of things that have stayed the same, or, you know, again, this is off of a trailer, but where there's some people have grown and, you know, have gotten better, we see that there's a lot of baggage there. And so hopefully this season will wrap up. There's only 10 episodes, just like season 4. So hopefully we're not doing the thing that we did in season 4, where we kind of like, you know, drive around the block a bunch of times before we actually get to our destination.
Yeah,
you know, hopefully that's not the case.
No, every episode was a music video type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Hopefully. And I like the music. Not even going to hold you, but there was a lot of, and I guess it's because of how we watch shows, right? Because this is a more of a linear thing where there's a couple major storylines, but they all kind of converge towards an end. Yeah. And the season 4 made it feel more like a sitcom where you have, like, you know, this is just the day of the life of Issa, as opposed to, no, Issa's actually going through something and we need to get to the end of, you know, we kind of see how this journey takes her. It's like, oh, this is a random day. Like, it felt more fillerish, some of the episodes.
Yeah.
Even though they were able to work out something, you know, notable towards the end, it was like we didn't need all these extra episodes in between. And I guess that's kind of difficult when, you know, you green light a season or you green light a show and, you know, you need a certain amount of episodes to kind of fill that slot.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, if you don't have enough story, and I'm not saying that that's the case, because clearly, you know, they're doing a thing. If they got, you know, 5 seasons, they've won awards. They were able to, like, HBO is like, Issa, do whatever you want. Like, just whatever you want. You know, I read her article recently about how she was talking about, Issa Rae was talking about how she had a main white character early on in the season because her friend told her that if you want your show, your web series to pop off, you need a white character. So then white people can kind of, you know, can kind of rock with you a little bit. And so they kind of did that. And then, you know, after a while, she realized, like, you know what? I don't want that. I kind of want this to be, you know, mainly focused on black people. This is a perspective of my life or the life of the character that I made. And so I kind of want that. And so after those seasons, she kind of dropped that part of her life, you know, when she was working in that other place with the, you know, and it became the all black show and she really liked it. Like, she liked what she did. And so, you know, there's, you know, kudos all around. My criticisms, mild as they may be, are mainly because I want the show to be the best you know, I want to, I enjoy the show. And so it's not to knock anybody, like, you know, clearly they're doing better off than I am. So, but yeah, I'm hoping that season five is good.
I just had to say that. I miss Frieda.
I liked her character. She was cool. She was cool.
I always liked her. I just thought she was so much fun. She was so much fun. She was just so special. She's just like, oh, like, I didn't mean to say it like that, but like, you know, like, I just love right. the way she would, her, she was so much comic relief that I honestly really do miss her. But, you know, I understood why, you know, those characters were no longer in there anymore. But I missed that one. Just miss Frieda.
She was good. Like the comedy, like playing against Issa and like all the awkwardness that comes with that was always great.
It was so good. I just thought it was so necessary and it just worked. And it just worked. I was like, I just want you guys to run into each other at the coffee shop and just like, you know, be like, just, you know, I don't know, just kiki. Because out of everybody who worked at We Got Y'all, Frieda was the only one that was worth anything.
Oh yeah, like, they were trash.
Everybody was trash, but Frieda was great. Frieda was a friend, you know.
Yeah, and you know, her tipping toeing around racial issues and kind of even in certain instances, you know, informing Issa about some of the things that she was doing, some of the choices. You know, she was solid. She was solid. Yeah. It would be dope if she made a cameo. She wasn't in the trailer.
Yeah.
So she's only been, you know, seasons 1 through 3, but if she, you know, I wouldn't be upset to see her in a cameo.
Yeah. I would love for her to come back. I would love, you know, for all the characters that are necessary to come back for the closing.
Right.
Like it would make sense, you know, for whatever it makes sense. Also, side note, if you haven't seen this show, I just don't know what to say. Like, we've been talking about this show since we started this cast, and I just don't know. I don't know what I can do to make you watch the show, but if you want to be part of these conversations, you're going to need to get on board. So please.
Yeah, well, we're not gonna be, you know, because this is just a, you know, our predictions of. Actually, I haven't even gotten to the predictions yet. I'm just saying what I see, but this is something that we're definitely gonna be talking about because it's a good show, like it's a very well done show, and it's not something where, you know, because I can understand there's been criticism about perspectives, criticism about portraying relationships, like, you know, especially when there are people are sexually active and stuff like that. And it's like, this is just one perspective. And it's dope is because it's still a Black perspective. You know, you can, even if you aren't in these predicaments, you aren't necessarily like these people, you can recognize these people because they're so much like us. You know, you know someone like Issa to some extent. Or Molly, even. In the mirror. You know what I'm saying?
So I am definitely like Issa with that. I will literally rap in the mirror. I do that all the time. Well, I used to.
Who doesn't talk to themselves? I mean, okay. I don't rap to myself.
Well, I rap to myself. Talking is a different thing, but rapping is. And I literally did that before I ever saw the show. And when I saw the first episode, I was like, oh my God, that's my spirit twin. And then I was like, yeah, but I don't cheat on my boyfriend. So, That's not
me.
Yeah. Stuff that she gets into. So, I rap to myself.
Do you think she's going to? Oh, word. Do you think that she's going to be, you know, staying with Lawrence after, you know, the whole baby thing?
I don't know. She seemed like. In the trailer that I saw, she seemed real happy, like herself. Like she seemed cool. You know what I mean? Like that. Right. I mean, they showed scenes where Issa was in good moods, and the only tidbits they showed of Lawrence was him looking all like starstruck. You know what I mean? Like
it looked like Issa was on a boat getting further and further away from him. So I don't know what to expect. I really don't have any real predictions. What I said last year at the season finale was, if I were Issa, if I were in the same situation that she was in, and I was that age, and I was just getting my life together, I would probably walk away. And I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying that's what I want for her. But I'm saying I would walk away because she literally just got her life on track. And their relationship, even though they knew what they were going to do, it was still casual. They did not, their commitment was to be honest with each other. Right. They were enjoying what they were building. And he was going to go away to San Francisco and be a trolley nigga. And she was going to stay there. And depending on what they decided was when they would make that move. Like, she's like, you know what? If my work brought me up there, then I would do that. But it's not like, let's make ourselves in a committed relationship and let's make the decision and let's go find a house and let's get married. No, they were casual about it. Like, we're going to do what feels right. You know what doesn't feel right is you being tied to Conchita for the rest of your
so dirty life.
I don't like her no more. And she's a big forehead. And so I'm going to be a stepmom.
There's nothing wrong with big foreheads.
There's nothing wrong with big foreheads, except when it comes from Kanakatu. Okay. Like,
her name's Condola, everybody. We're just, it's funny because everyone's been making fun of her name for a while. But yeah, Condola Hayes.
Her name is Gondola.
It's God.
Because no, and this is still Tiffany's fault, by the way. This is all Tiffany's fault. But I just say that if I were her, just like when she said, she was like, this is too much, Lawrence. This is too much. Because it was like, after all this time, after our relationship fell apart, after what I did, after what you did, after us growing into the people we've become, and now we've got this, like, this is not going to be easy. And I'm not saying life has to be easy, but after all the hardship we went through, now there is a baby and another woman in the rest of our lives. That's not how I wanted to start our life. I didn't want our first kid to be somebody else's.
Like, right, exactly.
And so I know that if I were her in that moment, my choice would probably be to walk. But I'm not saying that she's going to walk, because in truth, we've all been watching the show for 4 seasons. We want them together. I want her to be with him. I want them to figure it out. But, you know, I just know that if it was me, and I don't have a problem with raising other people's babies. I think I have a problem with raising a baby that Jay Ellis had with somebody else, because Jay Ellis is mine. So I would be all kinds of angry, and I would be like, you know what? I'm going to one-up you. Hey, Tom Hiddleston, I'm totally foul. I'm going to jump ship. I'm going to find somebody new. Leggy Tom. Just saying.
I'm mad at that.
Just saying. I just saying. Who, by the way, broke up with me because he has a new girlfriend. He did.
Did he know he was with you?
Did he have to know?
Kind
of. Was that a requirement?
that's kind of a thing. Is it? Know, knowing that, you know, you're with someone.
Well, nobody told me that. Just saying.
But yeah, it was also, I can also understand Issa not doing that because of, you know, being with, or you know, having a friendship with Condola at first. Mm-hmm. And then when she found out that she was with Lawrence, she just treated her kind of poorly. Like, yeah, I know it was like awkward and weird and all this other stuff, but she left Issa hanging when she had like one of the biggest days of her life. In the last season, like this, the thing that she was bringing together, this community thing that she was doing and she was working on with her for this whole time, she basically ghosts for like 2 weeks and then just shows up at the event. Like, what?
Yeah, not cool.
Like, who does that? Like, so, like, even with, you know, potentially having some friction because you know, she has a baby with the guy you're dating, you also did some shady stuff that wasn't called for, because it wasn't like Lawrence knew that you guys were friends. Like you guys became friends after this. So it wasn't like he started dating Molly or, you know, saying like one of Issa's friends that he knew. It was like, oh, small world. You just happened to be dating so-and-so.
It's Tiffany's fault.
Yeah. You know, not everything can be Tiffany's fault.
It is. This one is, because she intentionally got them together. It was her fault. It was her fault.
But I don't think she knew that she knew anything about the other person.
No, like wasn't the scene where she was like, oh, you should go talk to her?
I don't think Issa knew Condola like that.
No. Issa didn't. No, I'm just saying that Tiffany put Lawrence and Condola together.
Oh, but that's what I'm saying. She didn't know that the other two were going to become friends. It was there's a person over. Yeah. She inadvertently messed things up, if you will. But even then, like, Condola was acting weird even outside of that, with the way she was kind of treating Lawrence when they, you know, she met up with some of her friends who didn't actually see him in a bad light. But it was kind of like almost like looking down on him. And then when they got into the argument that they got into, it was like, you know, why are you speaking to me this way? Like, why are we going this far with something that isn't even a factor? Like, he doesn't speak. The fact that out of all three, none of you knew that those two were dating is because he doesn't speak to Issa. Making a big deal and essentially like pushed him in that direction because of whatever. Like, I can understand, okay, I can't work with you anymore or whatever. Handle it proper. That's all I'm saying. But you not only alienated your friend and lost a friend there, but then you alienated the person you were dating and then y'all broke up. And then you found out you were pregnant. So, like, just throw hands in the air and walk. What is happening here?
Crazy, messy stuff. Messy. Kenya Moore clearly had a hand in this. She did. Her hands are all over this. I know it.
Goodness gracious. So, yeah, we're looking forward to this new season. And again, it's going to be dropping October 24th. That's where the season premiere. And it's supposed to be done by December something. So 10 episodes. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. The last thing we want to talk about is the final episode of What If, which was a solid episode. If you didn't see we're going to spoil a little bit. So if you haven't seen it, we typically don't spoil the final episodes. However, I think this one is worth spoiling just a little. So if you haven't seen it, this is a good time to stop, like pause the show and then go over and watch it. But for everybody else, it was a dope episode. It follows what happened on the previous episode where there's a universe where Ultron wins. He is able to steal Vision's body and he gets he becomes all powerful and he like defeats the Avengers and all this good stuff. And then Thanos shows up and he kills Thanos, which I call foul before we even get into this, because Thanos had all sorts of stuff happening with him and he died so easily that I feel like, and I get it from a stance of like, he didn't know what was coming. Like he just hit him with a laser beam and that was it. But to have all that power and to not use it to defend yourself, like how did that even happen? Where the Avengers struggled so much when he didn't have all the stones, and Vision's like, oh, hi, you're dead. Oh, you have stones. What are these things? And so Vision becomes super powerful and so powerful that he goes to other planets. He destroys, he wants to kill all life everywhere. That's the only way apparently he can have peace, is by killing all sentient life.
Ultron doesn't know any better.
Yeah, that's his programming. He was based on, at least from the MCU, was that humans is the problem. Humans are the reason that there's no peace. You can't save the planet without taking out all the humans. But then he was like, oh, we got to take out all the aliens too and everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so at some point, he's like, you know, he feels bad because his mission is done. He has no purpose. And then he hears the Watcher talking, which just was hilarious. This is great. Here's the watcher talking. He's like, who's speaking? And the watcher's like, huh? And he's like, right. Still narrating. And then Vision is able to go through the dimensions and find where the watcher is. And that leads to this episode where the watcher has to pull people from the previous episodes, from the other dimensions, to have them fight this war with Ultron. And this is really cool because it ties in the multiverse in a way that we kind of wanted a little bit, because the, you know, it was like these one-off stories, and there was always like kind of leave you hanging. There's stuff we want to know about these characters and how this multiverse thing is going to impact the MCU, and to see them all kind of split like that and be pulled into a singular story is like, oh, this is something that could definitely happen in the MCU, where like a film where they could pull all these different characters, and where I think they're going to pull the Fantastic Four and the X-Men and Blade and all these people who weren't around when Thanos was destroying everything, right? And so
X-Men, I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm waiting for that. I hope. But they already said they're going to be making the X-Men films. They're going to be part of the MCU.
2024.
We have some time, but I think it's going to be the multiverse type thing. I think, because that's the only thing that makes sense. Mutants aren't just you're not going to get mutants in one film and then get to X-Men level in the next film. That's too far. but yeah, so like the Watcher brings them down. He gets not Tony Stark. He gets Thor, young Thor. He gets that's young Thor. He gets T'Challa as Star-Lord. He gets Killmonger before he's taken down by the Black Panther's people and Shuri. Yeah. He also grabs Peggy and Captain, I want to say, yep, and Doctor Strange, the evil version, the who destroyed his entire timeline. he gets all of them together to fight Ultron, which is really a cool episode. We see a lot of special abilities and explosions and all sorts of montages of people fighting, and it works out pretty well. I still feel that it's too short of an episode, just like some of the other ones. I feel like an hour would be better, but I think this one was paced a little bit better than the previous two, solely because it was what was happening was more finite. There wasn't any cliffhanger type things like with like the zombies episode where you don't know if they make it. You don't know, they don't even have time to mourn for characters. They're just like, and we're done. You know what I'm saying? Whereas this one was more finite. We kind of see the results of what went down. But all in all, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good episode.
Yeah, I enjoyed it really too. I thought it was a good closer. And I liked how it wrapped and brought the other episodes in. That was just really good. Just like you said, the last several episodes of the season were more together. Like they were using characters that I was like, okay. So you want to use characters that you used in the last episode? Cool. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Because, when it started, it was just more episodic. Just like, hey, what if this happened? And then didn't have any intention of concluding the domino effect that what if this happened would cause. And it just would just jump to the next story. Like, you jump to the next thing. Like the Killmonger episode had nothing to do with the fact that T'Challa was Star-Lord in another episode.
Right.
Like, so this, when the episodes closer to the end of the season start actually running together, like they are canonical, then it's kind of like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. This is a series. So I appreciated them bringing all that stuff together. I loved the whole Guardians of the Multiverse type thing. That was cool. That was fun. And
yeah,
I liked the opportunity of redemption for the characters that did bad things. It's like, right. Okay, you did bad things in the time in your universe and the timeline that you are in. However, here you're going to have the opportunity to do great things. And everybody had a purpose, and it was it was good. It was nice to see. I was happy. I like the little like girl bros that Captain Carter and Black Widow had become. That was cute.
Yeah. Like they were friends. Bros. Yeah, they were friends, you know, regardless of the universe.
Yeah, that was cool. It was just like the beginning, you know. Which Captain America movie was it where she had her hair like that? Was that Winter Soldier?
Yeah, it was Winter Soldier, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, it was Winter Soldier. And so it was just like they were redoing Winter Soldier all over again. And which is, I don't know what the purpose of that was, because Bucky wasn't the, you know, because we went through that episode where Peggy became Captain Carter. Bucky doesn't lose an arm, none of that happens. So I don't know what was going on. I don't know where we were. I don't know how anything happened. I also feel like I don't remember what happened in that episode. I don't remember anything. I was like, wait, was the Tesseract involved? Did she go through a portal and then come out the other side?
She came out after killing whatever that thing was, but time had passed. Okay. And so you had remnants of the MCU, like, you know, Samuel L. Nick Fury and Ethan as Hawkeye. But there was no mention of people like the Winter Soldier. And even when they showed the parts where she goes to fight, because this is actually from the film, so that's like a little Easter egg. There's a part where she lands on a yacht and she fights... Was it Batarang? I forgot the guy's name. Batroc. But that character is actually in the Winter Soldier film. Yeah. With Captain America, the Winter Soldier. That same scene happens where he jumps out of the plane and basically starts beating the crap out of everybody on the yacht. It just happens from Peggy. So I thought that was a really cool Easter egg before she's pulled out. But yeah, there was no mention of any of those characters. So I don't think they would have been there.
Right. It was just funny. He's like, so all you do is hide behind a shield. And I was like, Peggy, get him! Get him, Peggy! And I was like, is he breakdancing? Because I think he's doing capoeira. Like, he was doing way too much. I was not okay with this. I was like, yeah, dude, you're doing too much. Like, she can hit you one time, it'll be over. But yeah, I enjoyed a lot. I enjoyed the show, but the one thing that I thought was different was that Gamora, unless I missed an episode, Gamora showing up in this episode, like, I just shouldn't just say like showing up, but Gamora didn't have a lot of role in What If.
Yeah.
She was not around. And so like in this episode, she was kind of an extra. She has her purposes. Like, there are things that she clearly does, but I didn't feel like she had a lot of screen time, or if her screen time was, I don't want to say pivotal, because, I mean, obviously what she does is pivotal, but it's like you kind of knew what everybody else was going to do or what they were capable of.
Yeah,
in a way. And I kind of felt like Gamora was just like the last person, and they just didn't either didn't have enough time, or they just didn't think of anything cool for her to do outside of what she actually does, which is not helpful.
Yeah, it did feel kind of odd when he kind of picked her out. Because I was in the back of my head, I was like, did I miss an episode? Like, where was she important? And even with Tony Stark being there, you know, in his getup, I was like, when did this happen exactly? And I get is, I think it was more so a nod to the fact that she knew about the stones, the stone destroyer thingy. I forgot what the device is called from the comic. And that's cool, but I mean, Star-Lord could have knew that. Like, he knew about these things. I don't think the gems were foreign to a lot of these characters. It was just like, how exactly did Ultron get it? Like, in certain worlds, is like, how did that happen? You know, but for the most part, I think they kind of knew. So she wasn't necessarily needed, but she wasn't a bad, like, it didn't hurt the episode. It was just a little confusing. Like, and I choose you. I was like, who the hell are you again? Like, that sort of thing.
Just that, like, I think all of the Gamora references was like, this is something that we should know either from the movies or the comics, but there was nothing in What If.
Right.
Like, every other character is from What If. Every other character is a What If. They're not just, you know, from the movie. Like, even when we specifically get the Black Widows, plural, they are exactly how they are in the movie, but also, like from the boat. From the boat, it's Winter Soldier, Black Widow.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Black Widow on the motorcycle is from the previous episode.
Right.
So it's like, we didn't have any Gamora in What If to have her there. So I thought that was kind of interesting. She's the only character out of that lineup that didn't have an episode.
Yeah.
So I think it's normal for any of us to feel like, because I thought I missed an episode. I really did. I'm like, did I miss an episode?
It was an odd pairing. Just with everybody else, because we had history with the other characters, and so it made it a little bit, whenever you have like an ensemble cast, having the backstory for them makes their motivations, especially for Killmonger, like the things that they do later, it makes sense. But if they just kind of pulled Killmonger randomly without having the previous episode, you wouldn't have known why he did the thing that he did, you know, with Ultron later on. So, yeah. But then again, they kept her at a minimal role, just basically an extra arm.
An extra.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And so it wasn't too bad. Peggy and Black Widow kind of took over a little bit. Doctor Strange was a big factor. Also, I wanted to point out that I like the fact, and I may mention this, I think, earlier, but how the Watcher is black, because they don't really have, I mean, they've been all sorts of colors before, but mostly like giant, big-headed white dudes, but there's nothing about them that makes them whatever color. So it was cool to have a black Watcher, and then even have him kind of break character. He's like, what the hell is that? Like, yes. Was pretty dope. Like, so it was just kind of, you know, just some cool touches here and there. But yeah, if you haven't seen What If, definitely go check it out. We spoiled a decent amount, but not everything. But yeah, definitely go check it out. It's on Disney Plus. Also, if you have access to HBO, the stuff that we were talking about, definitely go check out. We are not being paid for any of this. I wouldn't mind it. Shout out to Netflix. But, you know, this is all of our, you know, just us talking about the shows that we liked and the things that we saw over the week. Because it's good to have recommendations with so much content, especially from Netflix. Just having things drop like every week. Actually, I get emails like almost every day about something new coming out. Like, hey, you might like this. It's kind of hard to keep up with it. And so if you have someone that's kind of like looking at these things and kind of telling you, you know, giving their opinion on it, you know, it'll help you navigate through all the content. For instance, I said on last week's episode that I've been watching The Wonder Years, and I'm still watching, and they're proven to be rather funny. Pretty good writing. I thought it was going to be a little shaky, but it's turned out to be a good show. Hopefully they continue on that road. It's this one of the sole reasons I have Hulu. So that should tell you something right there. But yeah, that is our show for this week. You know, we hope you enjoyed everything. If you did, you dug the content, feel free to follow, whether it is, you know, on the various DSPs, you know, Amazon, Apple, iTunes, all that good stuff. We're also on verbal.com now. So if you're there, because that's like the new platform for podcasts and just sound bites in general. So think of like YouTube for podcasts. We're actually on there as well. And you know, you could follow and subscribe there. Or if you're listening on YouTube, definitely subscribe to the channel at United Front Gaming. And outside of all those things, feel free to follow us on Twitter at TheGameCast1. Yep.
Well, that's it. That's it, y'all.
That's all, folks. Yeah, so here's the part where I say the same things I say every week, and honestly, I've forgotten. Again, you guys know that I have brain damage, so I don't remember stuff. What were we talking about again?
Closing, you know, washing hands and butts and all that good
washing
stuff.
Washing your hands, washing your butts, washing your faces. Just wash your bodies, y'all. It's so important. And being kind to other people, that's really important. I can't stress that enough, especially my experiences over the last few months. Please be kind to people. And don't be a dick, but that's please be kind. And then... what's the other thing that I say?
Usually shout out our frontline people who are working in the hospitals, stuff like that.
Yes. You know what? People who work in the hospitals are great, like, especially since having gone to the hospital like every week. And y'all are awesome people. And we got to keep these people safe. Okay. So get your vaccines, y'all. Wear your masks. Get your vaccines if you can. Wear your masks. Stay inside. If you feel sick, stay home. Call out, get COVID pay. I don't care what you got to do, but don't go anywhere if you're sick. And when you do go places, please wear your mask, be respectful of other people, stay 6 feet apart, if not more. Please don't walk up on me in a grocery store. I will have a fit. I'll have a conniption. I don't like that. Don't do it. But that's it, y'all.
I didn't like that before COVID.
Thank you. Thank you. Why are you so close to me? Why are you up on me? I can feel your breath on my neck hairs.
Right, just back up. Just mind your business.
Mind your business. Back up off me. All right. Well, that is our show for today. We will see you guys next week. We have some awesome, great new topics, and we have watched some more shows and played some more video games. Word. Shout out to all my people on Puzzles and Survival. Y'all people are crazy as hell, and that's all I got to say. But you're fun, and I kind of love you. Have a good night, y'all. We will see you next week. Take care. We love you, and bye-bye.